Grace, mercy, and peace to you in the name of God our Father. Amen. The video asks a good question, I think. Why do we struggle so much with faith? Another word for that is trusting God, trusting Him with His promises. I love the text that we just read. He says to the man whose daughter had just died, he said, "Do not be afraid, only believe." Can you guys relate to him in any way? Maybe not over a daughter dying, but over the stresses of life, over the things that you're worried about, struggling with, afraid of. Do not be afraid, only believe. We're starting a series today on the power of faith, or really faith steps, I guess is what it's called. And today we're going to take a look at one aspect of it, just the power that faith has to offer. It's an interesting thing, this faith thing, too. We know from our time in confirmation, probably, that we are saved by grace through faith in Christ Jesus, right? That there's nothing that we can do to earn our way to heaven, that it's through faith, through trusting what Jesus did on the cross, that it was good enough, that it was salvific enough, that we get to go to heaven as a result. But it seems like over time we've replaced faith with we are saved by knowledge of God. Right? You can tell that because sometimes people will go into a sermon or into a Bible study and they'll come out frustrated and say, "Well, I already knew all that, right? I wanted to be challenged today. I already knew all that." When, again, it's not really about knowledge, is it? It's about faith. Trusting the things that you know to be true because Scripture told us so. Those same people, if instead of focusing on the knowledge, focused on the application of that knowledge during that study or during that sermon, they would have been blown away by that time with God. But so often, we know things about God. We know that if we spent more time with Him in His Word, we'd get a sense of more of who He was, more a sense of how He cares for us, a sense of what His promises actually were. Encouragement to trust, we develop a relationship with Him, and yet the application of spending time with Him has been a little bit more difficult, isn't it? In fact, they say that even in the church today, most illiterate generation, biblically illiterate generation in history. We know that tithing's supposed to work, right? That there's all sorts of blessings that come from it. God says, "I'll open up the storehouses of heaven if you do that." We know that. It's just the application of it. Trusting that that's actually true, that seems to trip us up all the time. And what we do and what our actions show is that we actually trust the money more than we do God's promises, and so we're stressed all the time about financial matters. We know that God says, "I forgive you. I died on the cross to save you. You're forgiven." We know that's true. It's the application of it that's so often a struggle and why we beat ourselves up over and over and over again, why we ask God for forgiveness over and over and over again, why we still let people manipulate us because of the past, because we just can't seem to receive that forgiveness. Man, it's the application of the things we know. It's that trust. But we've even moved past that knowledge thing today, and now it's if we feel God, then we're saved, right? It's not that it's by faith, it's not by knowledge, but if we just kind of feel it. It used to be, "I think, therefore I am." Now it's, "I feel, therefore it must be," right? And so we have a whole generation of people, because we're biblically illiterate and don't even know what to base our faith on, that works on a basis of feelings. If I feel close to God, I must be good. If I don't feel close to God, I must be bad. I feel like God must say yes on this subject. I feel like He must say no on this subject, which is why you get a bunch of Christians saying things that are biblically not centered or biblically not correct. So, giving that as a preface, what do you think of then when you think of faith? I think it's sometimes hard to identify. And yet I want you to know that all of what God wants to do in your life is on the basis of faith. Someone once said that faith is to the Christian life what a mainspring is to a watch. In other words, it's indispensable. It is powerful. It is the thing that makes it work. You're saved by grace through faith. And it can change your life. And it's all about trust. Trusting what God says is true. Trusting His promises. Trusting, we just did a whole series on the Ten Commandments. Trusting that His ways are the right ways. Do you know why we sin? It's because we don't always trust that that's true. Well, I think I want to try this over here. This seems better. And so we go and sin. We turn our back on God and we get into all sorts of struggles. And so we're going to spend the next 4 weeks We're going to kind of have a faith-building seminar, a trust-building seminar, where we're going to seek to unlock the power of Jesus in your life, again, through faith. With that said, how many of you would say, I'd like to have more faith in my life? A couple of you? Hopefully it's all of you, right? But in the Bible, if that's true of you, it says this, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. In other words, you get faith, you develop faith, you strengthen faith by being in God's word. In other words, the Bible says we get through faith through listening to the word of God. And as we look at the scriptures, they illustrate for us and they explain to us how faith can make a difference in our life and how being in the word will actually grow our faith. And that's what we're going to be taking a look at in this series. So to start this series off, I want to give you an overview, kind of over for the next 4 weeks. I want us to take a look at what is faith, what are the benefits, what does it do for me, what difference does it make in my life, all those different things. But this morning, I want to start off with this. What does faith do? What are its benefits? Why should I care? And so as we look through Scripture, we see first and foremost that faith determines what God can do in my life. In other words, what is that you'll actually trust God for? Remember, I keep talking about this little box, right? That we put all the things that we truly trust God for in our life. We trust Him that we're forgiven and we go to heaven. What else do we put in the box? Truly. We trust Him for that most of the time, except when we're beating ourselves up and then we struggle with the forgiveness thing. We still think we're going to heaven, except when we do a lot of sin and we're wondering if we're still forgiven. But what else do we put in this box that we're going to trust God? There's 7,000 promises that God gives us. Which other promise are you going to put in there? You get to choose, is what Matthew 9:29 says. According to your faith, it will be done unto you. You get to choose how many blessings you have in your life. You get to choose how many answered prayers you have in your life. You get to choose how much I work in your life, God says. It's according to your faith. But the question is for us, I think, what is it that we'll truly trust God for? You're not going to see the storehouses opened up if you're not tithing. You're not going to develop a closer relationship with God if you're not in His Word. You're not going to receive the peace that comes through forgiveness, that freedom that comes through forgiveness, if you don't receive the forgiveness in the first place. Again, there's over 7,000 promises in the Bible, and it is our faith which is the key that unlocks all those promises. Don't be afraid, Jairus. Only believe. In short, it determines what God can do in your life. And God is faithful to His promises. Another thing that we learn from Scripture is that faith can solve impossible problems. How many of you guys got impossible problems in your life? I know some of you do. Scripture says this, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, nothing will be impossible for you. Some of you are facing impossible situations right now, and you need this verse. You need to know that there's a God that is able, even when you're not. And listen to what it says. Does it take a lot of faith? No. You put a little faith, as small as a mustard seed, in a big God, and you get big results. Another thing Scripture says it's the key to answered prayer. The Bible says if you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. I have a friend that used to pray like this, dear sir, if you're not too busy, if you can afford it, here's my request. And that's not what the Bible says, right? The Bible says more like this, if you believe you have received it, then you'll receive it. There's nothing God can't do. There's nothing that's impossible for Him. Believe in advance is the key to answered prayer. Now, I know we read verses like that and we say, well, then God must always give us what we want, and we kind of turn God into a vending machine God, and that isn't true. I will say what is true, God answers about 90% of the prayers that we pray in the affirmative. Sometimes He makes us wait a little while, but it's at least 90%. But God is the perfect Father. Do we understand that? And as the perfect Father, is it just possible that we as kids ask for stupid things sometimes? Yes, it is very possible. At least I'm going to speak personally. It is very possible, right? And sometimes this perfect Father looks down at our request and says, oh my goodness, no, right? And sometimes, even though we think it's the best thing ever, God says, I got something better. And so even when we pray, knowing that He's going to say yes 90% of the time because He's a loving Father that cares for us and loves us and wants what's best for us, there's going to be some times where He says no because He's got something better in store for us. And faith, trust that too. go to Scripture and we see this is the secret to achievement. The Bible says that everything is possible for him who believes. Why is that true? Because faith turns dreams into reality. It gives you the confidence to move ahead in things that you might not move ahead in otherwise. Goal setting is a statement of faith. Do we get that? Werner von Braun, the man who founded the space age, who initiated the United States rocket system, said this: "There has never been a single great achievement in history without faith." It's the secret to achievement. Everything is possible for he who believes. Scripture says again, faith is the basis for miracles. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing, even greater things. Jesus said that. It's got to be one of the most amazing statements ever made in the Bible. I say that because do you know anybody who's doing the things Jesus is doing? I'm not even close, to be honest. And yet he says it. Why? Because when Christians pray, miracles can happen all over the world today. Does God do miracles today? Absolutely, he does. And he does them through faithful people and through prayer. It is the basis for miracles. Can you get a picture of Jairus and how hopeless and how sad and how frustrated and how angry? I mean, there was a time gap, right? What did he do? He spent all this time ministering to this lady. My daughter's dying. And now she's dead. Had you not waited, Jesus, she could have. But Jesus just said, just believe. Boy, do we struggle with this trust thing when it comes to our faith walk with the Lord. Another thing, it says the Bible teaches that lack of faith is a sin. Everything that does not come from faith is sin, the Bible says. And that's pretty clear, right? If we don't trust that God's ways are the best ways, we're going to go pursue our own way. Hence, we start sinning. I don't know how much you blew it this last week, but I sure did. And so Scripture says this, God expects us to depend upon him, to trust in him, which leads us to the next one. It is the way to please God. Scripture says without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, just as parents, if any of you are parents here, just think of how much you love it, how much you are pleased when your kids trust you. Wouldn't it save them so much pain if they would just trust what we said was true? Similarly, when we save ourselves so much pain, if we would just trust what God says is true. God is pleased with his children when they put their trust in him. It's a way to please God. And finally, it produces successful living. In 1 John 5:4, it says that the victory that overcomes the world is our faith. We are saved by grace through faith. It's our ticket to heaven. It's the way to heaven. And it gives us a confidence to live life that nobody else has. It neutralizes fear. It gives us this ability to press on because we see the bigger picture. Or at least it should. Can you imagine Moses and Aaron? They're on the Red Sea getting ready to cross it, right? God's parting it up, you know, parting the whole thing. Everybody's amazed. And Moses turns to Aaron and says, okay, you first. No. It gave Moses the strength to move ahead. Faith gives you the ability to have the confidence to move ahead, which produces success in your life. It allows you to see some of the promises of God manifest. So after going through all that, how many of you think you'd like more faith? Like even less than before? Good. Okay. I'm making a difference here this morning. Excellent. You know, but it should. And faith is an element, an indispensable element in the Christian life. And so I'm going to again ask you, so what is it? Christians are to live by faith, says the Bible. Yet most Christians don't even have a working definition of what that is today. They couldn't give you a practical definition if they wanted to. So here it is. Faith is trusting God. It's much more expansive than that, but that's a good nuts and bolts beginning to talk about faith. How does it apply to my life, my marriage, my job, those kind of things? How do we make it practical? That's, I think, the question. And so let's look at that. Faith is such an important concept. You can't describe it in simply this one word or one definition. It's why we're going to take 4 weeks to look at it. It's kind of like a diamond. It has a lot of different facets to it, a lot of shapes and sides. But we're going to take a look at some of the facets of faith over the next few weeks together. 4 definitions of faith. In fact, here's a couple for you to start thinking about this morning. First one I want to give you is faith is stretching your imagination. Kind of a weird way to say it, but it comes from this verse in Ephesians 3:20. God is able to do more than you can think of or imagine. One of my favorite verses in the Bible. It just reminds me that God is able. I mean, super able. You ever think of waging a war against God? Ever think about doing that? And you got your whole army, and you got the nukes, and you got everything, and you're going to wage war against God. Did you know God gives us our very next breath, and so God could just go, you're done, right? In the Bible, he just, at different times, he says, okay, you're coming against me, I'm just going to take away your sight. So he goes like this, and nobody can see. Do you see how fruitless it is to go against the God of gods? Nothing is impossible for him. God is able to do more than you can ever think of or imagine. You think of the greatest thing that you can imagine that could happen in your life, and God says, I cannot do that. And so right now I want you to think of, what is the greatest thing you can imagine? The greatest thing you can imagine in your life happening this year. What is it? And don't say winning the lottery, although that would be really good for our capital campaign that's coming up, right? But something real, right? Like reconciling a relationship in your life, helping you with a marriage, helping you with your kids, praying that God would give them wisdom, just some wisdom to change their lives and do things differently. And I don't care if you're 50 years old or 5 years old, right? They're still our kids, and we pray over that. If you don't have a job, that you'd get a job. If you have health issues, that God would heal, unless it's the one that's going to take you home. I mean, what is it that is the most incredible thing that you can imagine? Maybe for some of you, it's somebody in your life coming back to the Lord so that you'll see him forever in heaven. Whatever it is, God says, I can do better than that. I can outdo that. Genesis 15 gives us an example of this first principle, that faith starts with stretching the imagination. Faith always begins with an idea, a concept, a vision, a dream, a mental picture, right? An image. It always begins with this idea. And so God came to Abraham one day. Abraham's already in Canaan, right? God promised him the land, everything. He went to Canaan. He's there. He's been there for a while. He says, I'm going to make you the father of a great nation. And he says, yeah, you told me that before, but I don't have any kids yet. I'm like 90 years old. I'm ticking over to 100 next year. I don't have any kids. What do you keep saying that for? It's hard for Abraham to believe, right? It's humanly impossible. It seemed too late in the game. He had heard the promise before, but God hadn't answered it yet. God says, you're going to be the father of a great nation, father of a multitude of peoples. God says, I can see I'm going to have to give you a picture on this. So in Genesis 15:1, it says, then the word of the Lord came to him and said, this man, because Abraham had been complaining, my servant's going to be my heir, I'm not going to have anybody. This servant, Eleazar, right, he's not going to be your heir. But a son is coming from your own body who will be your heir. And he took him outside and said, look at the heavens, count the stars indeed if you can count them. So shall your offspring be. And here's the craziest line. And Abraham believed the Lord, trusted what he said would happen, and God credited to him as righteousness. He trusted even when it seemed impossible. He trusted even though he was getting super old. He just trusted. God says, I'm going to stretch your imagination, Abraham. Look up at the stars. Try to count them. That's how many descendants you're going to have. Keep trusting. Keep believing. And Abraham did. That's why we talk about him all the time. Faith always begins with a picture, a mental image, a dream, a vision, and an idea. God says, here's something that you can visualize. And every night, Abraham walked out and he looked up at the stars and he said, that's how many descendants I'm going to have. Because God promised. That's going to be my family. And the entire Jewish nation came out of this guy. God starts by stretching our imagination, by giving us a dream, a vision. What can you dream and believe you can achieve? Because faith starts with an imagination. It starts with a promise. It starts by giving something to God that you haven't given to him yet. Faith is visualizing the future and the present. What can you visualize God doing in this next year? Talked about some of them. May he do those for you. And the second definition I'll give you is this. Faith is taking then the initiative. In Mark 5, there's a story about a woman, we read it, who was sick for 12 years. She had an issue of blood. She was a hemophiliac. She couldn't stop the bleeding in her life. And that made her ceremonially unclean, which was another complication in Jewish culture. That meant she had no social life. She couldn't go out in a crowd because they were afraid of the disease. But one day she heard that Jesus was coming to town. And so she risked everything. She said to herself, if I could just touch his robe, maybe then I'd be healed. And so she took the initiative and she made a daring act and she broke all the rules. And she went out into the crowd and she pushes her way through the crowd and she comes up behind Jesus and touches the back of the robe. And all of a sudden something crazy happens. She's instantly healed. Jesus recognizes the touch of faith. He says, who touched me? People are pressing all around him in the crowd. She had to squirm it through the crowd to get him. His disciples sometimes are funny in how they respond to him. And Peter's like, who touched you? Everybody's touching you. I mean, look around, Jesus. Everybody's touching you. But Jesus knew the difference, and he kept on looking. The woman finally comes to the front because she recognized that there was no escape. And she said, I did, Lord. And he says, daughter, your faith has made you whole. She took the initiative. She broke the rules. She went beyond the boundaries. She pressed ahead. She got through the crowd. And because she took the initiative, it wouldn't have happened if she stayed home. That act of faith healed her. Faith is deciding to begin. It's taking it out of the imagination stage, right? And it's trusting that God will act. It's committing yourself to action. It's taking an initiative. It's putting your faith into action. You see, faith is trusting that because of Jesus, because of his death and resurrection, that you're now forgiven and reconciled with God, and so that should give you peace. That should be the application, because you don't have to beat yourself up anymore. Faith is trusting that because of Jesus, that God's got you and is with you every step of your life, and that should give you peace, knowing that you're never alone. Faith is trusting that because of Jesus, God loves you and is for you and is not against you, and that should give you security. Faith is trusting that because of Jesus, God is working all things for the good of those who love him, and that should give you hope. Faith is trusting that because of Jesus, God will take you home to heaven one day, and that should give you joy. Faith is trusting that because of Jesus, everything is possible through him. And that's why we're going to spend 4 weeks on it. And we're going to take a look at some of these individually. Take a look at them in depth. Stuff like, how do I break out of the procrastination habit? How do I get off dead center? How do I take risks? How do I learn to wait for an answer? How do I keep on keeping on when everything is so hard? We're going to look at how we can connect, reconnect in some way, in some cases, to a Jesus who is real and powerful in our lives. We're going to take a look at how do we transform our lives through faith, through trusting this God who loves us. And so I invite you to come back. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us pray. God, we love you so much, and we thank you for today. We thank you just that we could take a pause and focus on first things, and that's just trusting you. You've given us so much in your word. Sometimes I think we just think that knowledge is salvific. Man, even Satan knows stuff, but help us trust you more. Trust you with our kids, trust you with our marriages, trust you with our work, trust you with our health, trust you when things just aren't going according to plan, trusting you with our forgiveness, trusting you with our eternity, trusting you with our future. Father, give us the strength to trust you more. And as we go through this series, challenge us. And now we pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.